Welcome to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. And this quarter, well, this is a new quarter. It's really what I wanted to tell you. And our subject this quarter is outstanding. The subject is education. Of course, in your mind, you might go to the classroom, elementary school or middle school, high school, college. Sure. But we think about the plan of salvation as being an educational process. God teaching us, discipling us, growing us to be all that we can be in Jesus. Now, what we do on Sabbath School is speak to the authors of the Sabbath School lesson, which is a wonderful privilege. This quarter, the quarterly was authored by Seventh-day Adventist college presidents. And so we're starting this brand new quarter on the subject of education by visiting Southern Adventist University in Collegedale in eastern Tennessee. We are joined by the president of Southern Adventist University, Dr. David Smith. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. So glad to be here.
And along with Dr. Smith, also from Southern Adventist University, the vice president for spiritual life and a chaplain at Southern, Joseph Kabaz. Joseph, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
Hey, this is going to be a fun lesson, I think. In fact, I think the quarterly is going to be great. Education is our overarching theme. This is lesson number one, education in the Garden of Eden. Dr. Smith, I'm just going to ask you a question that relates to the lesson, but I'm not really taking it directly from the lesson. How do we extrapolate education from the Garden of Eden? Why was that an educational setting, and how was that an educational setting?
You know, if you think about the setting, which I'm glad you mentioned that, I think it's really crucial because you have the first created human beings, morally perfect, but with freedom of will, and you have a God who is love. And the exchange they have together every time they do that is an education. Human beings are trying to learn what God is like and what God's love is like. And every interaction they have contributes to that learning. So it's kind of the ultimate school setting. In a garden with God, first created human beings, everything is just right. Let's see what we can learn. And especially what we can learn, not just about the creation, but also about the Creator.
Now, Joseph, I want to ask you about this because you exist in, you work in an educational setting, and it's rather dissimilar to the Garden of Eden. Now, in the lesson, it says, and this is a quote from the book Education, page 20, "The system of education instituted at the beginning of the world was to be a model for man throughout all after time." And later, not from the same quote, but a paragraph down, "The Lord was founder, principal, and teacher of this first school." So we can look at this from an academic educational perspective or even a spiritual educational perspective. But my question is, the setting has changed. You know, Southern Adventist University, for example, isn't in the midst, it isn't a garden. The setting has changed. But there are principles that carry over into education today, be it in the classroom or in the church room. What are some of those principles as you understand it?
Yeah, I think of the principles even coming over to Jesus. He actually lived on earth. He actually had to deal with this, you could say, new curriculum that was a result of sin. And Jesus, I think, provides a great example of that in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he essentially relies on the Father. And I think that's kind of what we're seeking to share with our students here on campus, is how they can combine their vocation with their calling and not only have a career, but have a calling in life, and how part of that is a total trust on their Father in heaven to direct their steps in all that they do. So I think even though we're not in the Garden of Eden, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even though there was all this imperfect environment around him, he was able to rely on the Father. And I hope that as we model Jesus and seek to emulate his life, that students are able to do that even in a broken world.
Dr. Smith, Sunday's lesson is entitled The First School. And it speaks, I think it's very interesting. The question is, what do you notice about God's purposefulness in creating, placing, and employing Adam? God was very intentional about this. He could have put Adam anywhere at all. This first school could have been in a desert I know this was way back at the genesis of time, but he might have waited until there was a city and could have put him at the top of a building. But what you notice if you read the passage given to us, Genesis 2 verses 7 through 23, that first God made him. And the very next thing we know is that God planted a garden. And then it talks about the garden and then tells us that God placed man in the garden and he gave him some work to do, to dress it and to keep it. And then he instructed him, you can have anything you want, but you cannot have that. You cannot have the fruit that grows on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then, if we can call this part of the educational process, God took a rib from Adam, and from that rib, he made Eve. What do we learn about the educational process here and about how God wants to educate us and form us for eternity?
Well, I think something that's pretty familiar in a higher education setting like our own is that God gave Adam work to do and the garden provided the perfect place for it. Increasingly, it seems parents send their students to college to get a job. That's what they're most interested in, which falls short of what Adventist education is really about, because Adam was given a job and working is good for you and getting trained for that is good. And God trained him well, I'm sure. But we also have what Joseph referred to, which is a calling. And so in Adventist education, we want to help our students understand, well, here's work you can do and we'll get you ready for that. But God has a calling for your life. He had it for you from before you were born. And Adam's calling clearly had something to do with being obedient to God, serving God, trusting God fully. And that tree in the garden that was kind of the focal point of that. So we all have work. But we also have a calling, and I think the garden illustrates beautifully how those two should work together and what God originally intended for it.
Joseph, let me come to you and ask you this, because later on that same day, and what day is that we're looking at? Sunday. It says, God also knew that man needed to be in close relationship with him. So he created an intimate space in Eden within the confines of the garden. Now, that's a really interesting concept, isn't it? That God was promoting right from the get-go closeness. So this is the big picture education, whether you're talking about academic, but certainly spiritual. Talk about that closeness and how important that is in becoming all that God wants us to be.
Yeah. I got a quote here from C.S. Lewis. It says, education without values, as useful as it is, seems rather to make man a more clever devil. So what they're saying is you can have education, but if it's not based on a set of values, we just become more clever sinners, essentially. And so I believe that closeness with God represented the values that he wanted to instill in us. If we're made in the image of God, we're meant to reflect his image. And the way to do that is only by his power and the ability to spend time with him based on the values that he teaches us.
I like that quote very much. In fact, so much. Dr. Smith, I'm going to ask you about it. Why Christian higher education? Why Adventist higher education? If it comes to learning biology, one can learn that at one school or another. So talk about the importance of Christian Adventist higher education. I think it's vital because, going back to what Joseph said, we could just educate and create clever devils, but I think we have a better purpose than that, don't we?
You know, Eve provides a pretty sad example of a misunderstanding about what Adventist education could or should be, because she went for knowledge. If you get this knowledge, knowledge God has, you can become like him, and it's what you need. And of course, that was not the answer for her. Adventist education is not the transference of knowledge from one source to a human brain. It's relational, just like God was. It's interpersonal and it's transformational. And the whole idea of it is that you're going to change as a person. And as you learn more about God, you will become more like him. That was God's ideal in the garden. And it's still God's ideal, even in different settings, such as the schools that we have today. But a lot of people are confused about that. They think, you know, I want my child to learn the most about whatever it is, but that's not what Christian education is about. It's about, I want to learn about God and let him change my life and be in relationship with him. And that's what God wanted in the garden.
Joseph, as vice president for spiritual life on a Christian campus, as a chaplain on a Christian campus, you really up close, you know, day to day, see the impact of Christian education on the life of a young person. Tell me what's unique about a Christian educational setting, an Adventist educational setting in higher education that you say, I'm seeing kids go away from here with certain things they just couldn't get anywhere else. How do you see that? What are you seeing?
I guess there's a number of things we can mention, but one is this philosophy that they don't live for themselves, but they're living for the calling that God has for their life. And it's not just about accumulating wealth for themselves or living for themselves, but it's about living and making this world a better place. In fact, bringing the kingdom of God from heaven to earth so that his rule of righteousness can be shown in this earth. And so, you know, one example is our student missionaries. They take a year off in a way. They get some credits for being a student missionary, but nothing close to what they would get if they were taking a full workload here. But they do that, they extend some of their education because they want to make a difference in this world. So they serve all over the world for a reason. And I believe the reason is it's been instilled in them that Jesus gave his life for me. And as a result, because I'm saved to serve other people.
Dr. Smith, at the end of, towards the end of Tuesday, or maybe it's, let me say, towards the beginning of Tuesday, we see the title, Missing the Message. God created the Garden of Eden perfect. He created two perfect people, incomplete, but perfect. He wished to educate them. There was nothing faulty about God's education in terms of content and in terms of the manner in which the education was carried out. But there you have Eve. She gets entangled in a conversation with a snake. She misquotes God. It's as though she hadn't attended class. What can we learn from that? And I don't just mean now in a college setting, but in a life setting. What important lessons should we be taking away from Eve, who got an F on that test? I'll give you 60 seconds.
Okay, well, you know, God, perfect teacher, perfect parent, Adam and Eve, beginning perfect, but the difference in the equation is that God values freedom of will above all else. And so he tries to teach us what we need to know. But we make the choice how we live, which is exactly what Eve did. So Eve decided that she didn't want to trust God. She wanted to be like God. Adam decided that he loved Eve even more than he loved God, and he couldn't trust God with losing her. So in Adventist education, we have to learn what it means to really trust God. And he gives us the room and the freedom of his love to make those choices. You know, I've often thought God is a perfect parent and he will lose most of his children. So it's not so much about the teacher or the parent's perfection. It's about our freedom of will and the choices we make and how our educational experience hopefully guides us in those choices.
Yeah, and very important that we remember that in church. You know, take a group of people who are defined how in whatever you want to define in church as. And some will one day walk on streets of gold and some will not. God gave freedom of choice. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be back with more in a moment. This quarter, education. And this week, week one of the new quarter, we're looking at education in the Garden of Eden. We'll be right back with more of Sabbath School from It Is Written.
More and more people are watching It Is Written TV. They're watching their favorite It Is Written programs, listening to inspiring sermon series, and much more. They're watching them here, here, and even here. See for yourself why people are turning to It Is Written TV to watch their favorite Christian programs live and on demand. Watch It Is Written TV for free anytime on Roku, Apple TV, and at itiswritten.tv.
Welcome back to Sabbath School. This quarter, education. It's a new quarter and a good quarter. You can talk about education as taking place in a classroom, but of course, we are being educated for eternity. learning more of God and taking into our lives more of the Spirit of God and the person of God. I'm glad to be joined today by Joseph Kabaz, Vice President for Spiritual Life at Southern Adventist University in Collegedale, Tennessee, also a chaplain there, and Dr. David Smith, who is the President of Southern Adventist University. Dr. Smith, I want to look with you at Wednesday's lesson, Regaining What Was Lost. This is really interesting. If the Garden of Eden was an educational process, if we can say Adam and Eve worked at a school in the Garden of Eden, Eve pretty well started out as a bad student. She got an F and was kind of kicked out of school. Well, she wasn't kicked out of school. She flunked the test. Regaining what was lost, I like that. It indicates that right after she failed so badly, you know, God didn't haul her out. God went after her to regain her and win her back and complete the education in spite of her failure. Two things. How does Christian education emulate that? And how does that work in our relationship with God, that great spiritual education? We're all in that school.
Well, I think one thing to note is that when God grades a test, it's a test of a human heart. And as it says in Scripture, you know, we go by the appearance, He goes by the heart. So He judges us by motive, He judges us by our hearts, and He responds accordingly. And He uses the Spirit to touch our hearts and pull us back. So there's always hope for us. You know, we can get an F on the test, but God can redeem us in His knowledge and with His knowledge of our hearts. I think it makes a big difference. One thing I've always loved about school is all about new starts. So every semester, every day, every new school year, it's like it's new. It's starting over. It doesn't matter what your record's been. This is a new year, and it's going to be different. And I think that emulates a great deal the way it is with God, where every day is a new day with God. And even if yesterday was the worst day of your life, today could be the day where He saves you for eternity, because He can do that, and He will seek the opportunity to do that.
Joseph, this is really interesting. The book I'm reading from is 2 Peter. Peter, who was a colossal failure, but was restored, and he says, starting in verse 3, I'll sort of graze through this, according as His, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He gives us what's become known as Peter's ladder. If these things be in you no bound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful. Verse 10, you shall never fall. Really interesting, this idea of restoration. That tree that Eve was not supposed to eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, in education, it's not that all knowledge is good. Even in life, all knowledge is not good. There's some knowledge that we ought to steer away from. How does Christian education approach this? And how do we as Christians navigate this minefield? Some things just better left alone. Some things we really do want to take on board. What would you say?
Yeah, so if we think about creation and the idea that we are reflecting God's image, it's the Creator that tells us what is right and wrong. It's the Creator that defines what is good for us. And what I find interesting in the Garden of Eden is the fact that instead of Adam and Eve allowing God to define what was good or bad for them, with the garden and with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what God called bad or forbidden, they called good. So in essence, they were defining reality for themselves. And I think with Christian education, it's the idea that who's going to define your reality for you? Is it the world and its principles, or is it going to be God's word that's going to define reality? And unless God defines that reality, we can never really reflect His image that He created us to be. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "Cause judgment upon Israel, calling evil good and good evil." And that's essentially what Adam and Eve did. They defined reality for themselves. And I think that's what every person has to grapple with. Are they going to allow God to define reality for them, or a different postmodern way of approaching things where there's no such thing as good and evil? You define reality for yourself.
Dr. Smith, Thursday we talk about despising authority, the despisers of authority. You've been a college president for many years, and you've worked on in a college setting for many years. In colleges, there's authority, and there needs to be so. In the church, there's authority, and there needs to be so. Ultimately, of course, our authority is God. What can you share with us about this? I'm just going to put it this way. The folly of despising authority. Because while we're talking about education, and we're looking at scholastic education. Of course, what this is really pointing us to is spiritual education, God discipling us for eternity. What have you seen? You must have seen a lot of examples of young people wrestling with authority and finally coming to the idea that, hey, I got to work with this. There's no point kicking against it. It's for the better. You're an authority figure yourself. So how would you advise those of us who are saying, I don't like authority?
Well, a lot of that just speaks to human nature and the interest in self and trying to promote self. And so I think one of the best things you can do when it comes to authority is just show respect. Adam and Eve in the garden did not choose to make God their authority, even though he created them. And they choose to trust Satan. You had two teachers in the garden. There are two teachers in every classroom. One of them is God and one of them is Satan. And who do we listen to? And how does that work out in the life? You know, there's a sermon that I give called Something to Come Back To. And it has to do with Adventist education and how our students go through it. And when they finish, sometimes they're not ready for translation. They're not where maybe everybody would hope they would be, including God. But there are things planted in them, if the people in authority love them and work with them, that years later, many of them will come back. It's a remarkable thing, and I've seen it over and over and over. And I just praise God for how he redeems us when we bucked him as authority, but he came back. He kept coming back for us. And so I think rather than say, because I told you so, which is about the worst way to approach authority, it's because I love you. And stick with that, and over time, God will use it. He'll capture you, and he'll pull you in.
Joseph, I want to look on Friday. Of course, there are always discussion questions at the end of Friday's lesson, and there's discussion question number two. Adam and Eve knew that God was close, and yet they accepted the serpent's half-truth. How can we, who are removed from such close physical proximity to God, still find power from him to help us overcome temptation?
Yeah, and I think that idea of closeness, again, is so important. When you look at the book of John and even in Hebrews, it said, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so when you look at the book of John, it's written to an audience that never saw Christ. It's for the second generation Christian, if you want to say. Hence a lot of examples like Thomas are found in there. Jesus is with us even though we can't see him, and that's why it's faith. And we have the opportunity to be as close with Jesus as Adam and Eve were in many different ways. Yes, he's not maybe physically there with us walking in the cool of the day, but through the cross and with the fact that the veil was torn from top to bottom, from the holy place to the most holy place, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can have an intimate relationship with him. And as we do, He will light our path and he will show us where those pitfalls are, and we can enjoy a sweet embrace with him as we follow him faithfully.
Dr. Smith, this might be our last question. We'll see how this goes. Education. Let's talk about this concept, really. Maybe this could have been the first question of our spiritual growth being one of education. If we talk about the Bible, share with me. They don't need to be from top to bottom here, but several or some or a couple of principles in the Bible that you say these are educational principles, as in growing us into the likeness of Jesus. How is the Bible an educational book? How is our relationship with God one of spiritual education?
Well, I think if you take Psalm 119 and a verse we're all familiar with, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, the whole final test, in a sense, in the Garden of Eden was centered on whether or not to trust the word of God. And Satan questioned that, you know, did God really say? And got Eve to kind of thinking down that track. So I think one of the principles of Adventist education that's so important is to keep God's word absolutely central and to say, God's word is the guiding force in your life, and it's his message to you. Read it, pray it, live it, and that should be absolutely central to the experience that we have in our schools. And what voices we listen to. You know, my wife has often pointed out to me that Jesus' question in the Garden of Adam and Eve, you know, who told you were naked, is really interesting. Who do we listen to? Because if we listen to the devil, then we have that shame, we have that guilt, that fear, all those things that keep us from God. But God's voice is found in his word, and his word has to be the guide rather than the human voices or even the inner voices that otherwise we tend to let guide us when God's trying to educate us.
Joseph, one last question. What do you think it would do for our relationship with God if we thought more of God as an educator? See, as I think of an educator, I think of someone who's trying to instill good principles in you and help you and grow you and give you a future. Not everybody thinks about God that way. Do you think there's some real utility in thinking of God as an educator?
Yeah, in the book of Proverbs, it says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we have a lot of knowledge in the world, but we don't have maybe a lot of wisdom in the world. And so thinking of God as an educator first is a humbling experience, realizing I don't know it all. Google doesn't know it all, even though it's right there on my fingertips. There's a lot of knowledge out there, but there isn't very much wisdom. And seeing God as an educator will enable us to fulfill the calling and plan that he has for our life. What better educator to have than the one that made us, the one that fearfully and wonderfully knit us together? There is no better educator than that allows us to fulfill our calling in life.
Gentlemen, fantastic. This has been a joy. I hope we can do this again sometime. From Southern Adventist University, Joseph Kabaz, Vice President for Spiritual Life and also a chaplain on campus, and the President of Southern Adventist University, Dr. David Smith. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. This has been fun. Next week, lesson 2 in this quarter's quarterly, which is education. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. Until then, may God bless you. Thanks so much for being here for Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written.